on the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Hey, 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 the countdown is on. The final weekend of the regular season is here. Can you believe it? Brewers and Reds, and man, there's going to be a lot on the line. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us here. Early edition of Brewers Weekly here on this Thursday night, because we've got Just a Bit Outside coming later tonight here on 620. So we are going to talk Brewers. We've got post-game shows all weekend long. We'll be ready for the playoffs by the end of the day Sunday. Still won't know who the Brewers' opponent will be in the NLDS. Now, as we get the show started, let's lay out the agenda. We've got a contest today. If you stick around all the way to the end of the program here live on WTMJ, we're giving away a book, Got Your Legends, by John Greenberg and Paul Hambakides. We have a conversation with Paul Hambakides, a.k.a. Hembo, on ESPN's Get Up, researcher, statistician for ESPN, talking about the Mount Rushmore of the Milwaukee Brewers. So we'll explain all of that with Hembo in just a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about what's actually coming up here for the Brewers. What's left to play for? You've heard about the magic number. What beyond that are the Brewers looking for with health, with lining up their pitching, with making sure that they can set their bullpen how they want to in the 5 days off before they find out who their opponent is going to be? And then we just kind of break down, who do you want? Do you want the Padres? Do you want the Cubs? How is that going to work out? Because that would be the wild card matchup that lines up with the Brewers. Real quick, though, just to give you the synopsis of where we're at and how things are looking right now in the National League wildcard picture. We'll be keeping an eye on Mets, Cubs, literally starting in about 30 minutes' time. So by the time you're listening to this in podcast form, you'll know the results of Mets and Cubs. Let's go ahead and lay out both scenarios. Right now, the Mets have the final wildcard spot in the National League. But Cincinnati won earlier today, meaning if the Mets lose tonight against the Cubs, Cincinnati and New York are tied for the final wildcard spot, only in record. That tiebreaker goes to the Reds. But a reminder, the Brewers play the Reds this weekend. They still need every win they can get. The Mets will be going to Miami, who adjusted their rotation to have Sandy Alcantara, Yuri Perez, and Edward Cabrera start against the Mets. Shades of 07, anybody? Anyway, so the Mets are hanging on for dear life. They have their finale tonight in Chicago. Then Arizona, they're not dead yet. Arizona, they are a game and a half back as we begin play tonight. Let's say the Mets lose, they'll move to a game back still of that final wildcard spot. The Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers today. They lost last night in what was the game they needed to win in extra innings against LA, especially given they had held LA scoreless in the top of the 10th, failed to score in the bottom of the 10th. That's going to be the game that keeps the Diamondbacks potentially out of the playoffs. Arizona will finish with the San Diego Padres in San Diego. In case you're wondering tiebreakers there, if it's Arizona and Cincinnati tied, Cincinnati has that tiebreaker. If it's Arizona and New York tied, Arizona will likely have that tiebreaker, given all they need to do is win one more game in the series against San Diego, and they would need to if they're going to surpass New York for the intra-divisional tiebreaker. But then if it's all three of those teams end up tied with the same record for the final wildcard spot, the tiebreaker goes to Cincinnati, given they won the season series on both New York and Arizona. So it's going to get wonky in these final three games as to who's going to get the last spot in the dance. It's pretty comfortable for the Cubs right now, and especially if they win tonight, they will virtually certain themselves into hosting a wild card series against the Padres. The only scenario would be the Cubs losing out and the Padres winning out for the Chicago to not host for the wild card series. So that's something to keep an eye on. Chicago, by the way, finishes at home against St. Louis. The only thing left for the Brewers, keeping an eye, real quick scoreboard update from Philadelphia. The magic number is 1 for the Brewers to be the best record in baseball and clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They need a Phillies loss tonight. That could take care of itself. Or one more Brewers win over the weekend. It does not matter what the Phillies do if the Brewers get one more win. Philly is up 1-0 on Miami as we speak in the bottom of the fourth inning. So that's what's left. That's what we're keeping an eye on, at least here in the National League. The American League is a little more chaotic. We don't need to talk about them right now. Up next, let's start planning things out with the pitching staff. What's going on? What are the priorities? What are your thoughts? 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. The boys have been back in town. How about it? Brewers getting ready to host the Cincinnati Reds, who won today. They are struggling to score runs, but they are still alive, even though I declared them dead about a month ago. We talked to Cleveland about coming up from the dead. They were down 15 and a half games. That's insane. Talking about the American League chaos. But now let's talk about what's on the checklist for the Brewers this weekend and in the 5 games, you know, in the 5 days, I should say, between getting ready for, you knowing your opponent and all that stuff. Here's the what I imagine the pitching lineup is going to be for the Brewers. They have not announced beyond Quinn Priester tomorrow against these Reds. But I imagine it'll be Quinn tomorrow, and that'll be a shorter start, kind of like what we saw from Freddie, only going 5 innings against the Padres. Then you've got TBA. I imagine it would be Robert Gasser on Saturday in some capacity. Or maybe they start somebody unexpected, like Carlos Rodriguez, and have Robert Gasser available out of the bullpen, because that's likely the role that he would serve in the postseason. I think the other priority the Brewers are going to have this weekend is see Jacob Mizrowski out of the bullpen. I think it's very clear at this point, and I've been saying this for a couple weeks now, Miz is going to be in the bullpen on the playoff roster. And it also depends on matchups, too. The Brewers might prioritize a couple of lefties over, you know, what they need out of Miz. Do they want him to throw with the lead? Do they want him to throw in a tie game? Like, these are things that they need to figure out if he can handle one inning out of the bullpen. That's a priority right now for the Brewers. Maybe even see Chad Patrick in tandem with Freddie Peralta on Sunday. Now, Freddie would be an even shorter start. Just make that final start, 3 innings, once through the order or something like that, just to kind of get him on the cycle to be ready to say, all right, you throw Sunday and Saturday. And then he would throw Saturday, and then on the fourth day, 4 days rest on the 5th day, if necessary, for game 4 of the NLDS, wherever the Brewers end up playing. So get those guys the experience they need. And I think it's very matchup dependent, but I think Robert Gasser is going to have a very important role on this postseason roster for the Brewers. You know, especially if they're facing the Padres. And the news that came out yesterday after the game that Ramon Laureano broke his finger on that check swing yesterday, and he only had one at bat. So that's one more righty that you can't squeeze in between all those lefties that play every day for San Diego. You know, I'm talking about Gavin Sheets. I'm talking about Ryan O'Hearn. I'm talking about Jake Cronenworth. The lefties that play every day in the middle of that order, they're not going anywhere. They don't platoon those guys. So to have a lefty like Gasser available for them to ease some of the tension on Ashby and Zastrzyzny, and you know Koenig will be available in the back end for those guys too, or if Jose Quintana is healthy enough and the Brewers end up playing the Padres, Quintana's probably going to start game 3 for the Brewers. But the Brewers will certainly be mum about who is starting game 3 until the roster is actually released for the Brewers. We'll talk about the roster in the next segment. The other thing the Brewers are going to prioritize this weekend is health. I mean, Trevor McGill, that is a major story for this club. And right now, McGill is scheduled to throw a live session tomorrow. That's supposed to be 25 or so pitches, maybe even 2 ups if they design it that way. And if that goes well and he recovers properly, he would be activated hopefully on Sunday to get real game action in before the playoffs begin. And in McGill's words, it is a priority. And in the Brewers' words, they want it to happen as well, that they are wanting him to get in a game. You may be wondering, well, why not just save him? Why not just save those bullets, because it's a flexor strain, and every time you ramp him up to try to get him ready, he's just going to damage it, right? Well, there are a couple things that are a factor here. When you're throwing bullpens and when you're throwing lives, you're never really going 100%. And when your adrenaline courses through your veins of really coming into a contest, of really coming into a game, you got a little more life on your stuff. Will your body respond to that? Now, he's been responding through 95, 96, according to reporters in San Diego in his bullpen session this past week. And we'll see how he recovers. And if he throws again tomorrow, that's a good sign. But then the real question is, if he comes into the game, if everything goes according to plan, if he comes into the game on Sunday and he touches 99 and 100 and we can all be like, oh my gosh, look, he's fine. Well, how does he feel the next day? that he finally got to that number again, that he feels good. Or vice versa, the worst case scenario is he comes out throwing 94, 95, and that's not who Trevor McGill is, and you're going, okay, the Brewers might not have their closer for at least the first round of the playoffs. So these are things that the Brewers are trying to figure out this weekend. However, it has been a very admirable fill-in by both Jared Koenig and Abner Uribe since McGill went on the injured list. Those two guys have been phenomenal. They deserve respect. Abner Uribe, what a season for Abner, given last year was completely a lost year. And for him to reinvent himself the way he has, to channel all of that energy and to channel the spunk into the celebrations and all the fun stuff that he does from a fan perspective, there were real concerns in the Brewers organization. Could he be mentally tough enough to handle an eighth and ninth inning role? The stuff can, but can he mentally? And this is going to be a massively important postseason for Abner Uribe's development moving forward, especially if Trevor McGill is injured and he's not available. So that's another piece of health that the Brewers are going to be looking out for. And then finally, you know, what is there left to audition for in the bullpen as we break down the bullpen personnel coming up in the next segment? Is Rob Z on this playoff roster? Is Grant Anderson on this playoff roster? Is Nick Mears on this playoff roster? Is Jacob Mizorowski on this playoff roster? Is Eric Fetty on this playoff roster? There are a lot of questions that still loom over the Brewers, and a lot of this has to do with Jose Quintana's health and what the Brewers decide to do with him. And again, that is probably matchup based. And we'll talk about those matchups coming up in a moment about who do you want? Do you want the Cubs? Do you want the Padres? Who will the Brewers face come a week from Saturday on October 4th? We also don't know game time. So I know that's going to be a $1 million question this week. Like, oh, what do the Brewers play? We don't know yet. There's standing room only tickets available at Brewers.com. Hope to see you at the ballpark next weekend. But Brewers and Reds coming up next. That'll be over the weekend. Give you some, we only know that it'll be Quinn Priester tomorrow. But for the Reds, their pitching likely lines up the following. It'll be Zach Littell tomorrow, Andrew Abbott on Saturday, and Brady Singer on Sunday, with maybe Hunter Green available if it's a must-win situation. Otherwise, they would get to save Hunter Green for game one of their wild card series against the LA Dodgers, who officially clinched their playoff spot today and officially clinched the division today, I should say, over their win over the Diamondbacks. So that's a pretty good rotation. The offense, though, has been the problem for the Reds over the last handful of games. Granted, Paul Skenes will do that to you as he's about to wrap up his unanimous Cy Young season with a 1.97 ERA. He went 6 shutty yesterday against Cincinnati. So Cubs, Padres, tale of the tape coming up next. And a little bit later, we've got our contest to give away a book from Paul Himbakitis. Got Your Legends. We'll explain the Mount Rushmore coming up in a moment on 620 WTMJ. Brewers and Reds coming up this weekend. We're excited for it. You can catch all the post-game shows live here on 620 WTMJ, over on YouTube as well. And furthermore, we'll even be in podcast form, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcast. Our conversation with Paul Himbakitis is coming up next. But first, let's talk about the Padres and the Cubs. Now, we can go ahead and knock out the Cubs here quickly. We know all about them, right? The Brewers lost the season series against the Cubs, 6-7. Great series all around. Every game mattered. But in the second half, and really since the Brewers left Chicago, and you know the Cubs were obviously feeling galvanized about winning that series and taking the tiebreaker, they've once again been stuck in neutral. Now, injuries have something to do with that for them. When the Brewers left town, they were 73-55 and still 7 games back, even with the tiebreaker. That being said, since that day when the Brewers last saw them, they are 16-14. They're just barely above a 500 team. And if they win tonight, they'll be 17-14. The main culprit for all of this is the offense. The starting pitching's been pretty good for them. Jameson Taillon and Cade Horton have been great, but more on Horton in a moment. When you look at the game logs since that last game against the Brewers, that date came back on August 21st. So since August 21st, there's a 5-game losing streak in here for the Cubs. But since August 21st, as a team in those 30 games, they're still only scoring roughly a little less than 4 runs a game. Doing the math right now. A little more than 4 runs a game. 4.6, which is fine. But home runs about 1 per game. Their team average is 250. They're an offense that one of the biggest drops, first half production, second half production. I mean, they were averaging over 5 runs per game in the first half. In the second half, they're just now above 4 thanks to a big output. These last two nights, they've scored 17 runs in the first two games against the Mets. Obviously, we've heard about Pete Kerr-Armstrong's struggles in the second half, but Ian Happ has turned it on. Michael Busch has 31, 32 home runs. Kyle Tucker has been on the injured list. Owen Casey has had a concussion. Moses Ballesteros has come out of nowhere to be their DH. All that being said, the Cubs are a club that their main Achilles heel is still their bullpen. And when you dive a little bit deeper into the numbers, just specifically with the second half, and Palencia just got activated off the injured list today, and he is so important for them as their closer. But in the second half, if you just rank it by ERA, the Cubs bullpen in Major League Baseball ranks 19th at a 4.25. Similar with the Dodgers and the Phillies bullpens, which is shocking. In the second half, the Brewers bullpen ERA, by the way, 3.20, fourth best in baseball, only behind the Padres, the Guardians, and the A's? That's shocking. The A's have a 2.91 ERA in the second half in their bullpen. That's news to me. Anyway, that's where the Brewers are going to have to take advantage. And on Cade Horton, Cade Horton had an MRI after getting pulled from his start on Tuesday after just 3 innings. There is concern about back tightness, and he would start a wild card game, no doubt, against San Diego. But all of a sudden, you're looking at Tyone, Boyd, and Imanaga, and no Horton available. That is something to keep an eye on for the Cubs. Now, on the Padres, it's a little different. Obviously, we look at that lineup and you're like, wow, they're so good. But their pitching, aside from the bullpen, leaves question marks. The Brewers saw a ton of walks from Pivetta on Monday night. They could not solve Dylan Cease yesterday for the most part. And then Michael King has not been himself since coming off the injured list. So they have concerns in their starting rotation, but fear not, their bullpen is better than their starting rotation. So they do it the other way around. And the Brewers just saw all of their leverage arms. Adrian Morahone, Robert Suarez. Then you even got Jeremiah Estrada. The one guy they didn't see is Mason Miller. He throws hard, and he has a great slider. We know that, and he can throw multiple innings. Their offense, though, is just what confounds me. When you think about what they're able to do with a healthy Tatis. Now, Tatis is out with COVID. I mean, he has been sick. He wasn't even in the ballpark this whole series for the Brewers against the Brewers. Is he going to be himself when he comes back? Machado had a quiet series. Then furthermore, if you're able to counter all of those lefties with lefties of your own, like Quintana, like Ashby, like Gasser, that's one way to neutralize O'Hearn and Cronenworth and some of those guys in the middle of that order. There are question marks about that offense. It's been maybe the most underwhelming offense in baseball this season, given the names that are on that list. But they've got plenty of playoff experience. They played for an NLCS just a few years ago. That was back when they lost to Rhys Hoskins' Phillies in 2022. Point being, who do I want to face? You're so familiar with the Cubs. You're so familiar with San Diego now, most recently. I think I would pick San Diego. Just because of the, you just saw them. You're going to have a different personnel. You're going to have different length out of your starters. You have the advantage in the starting pitching. You still have just as good of a bullpen as they do. And the offense has been sort of underwhelming. I don't like picking one because it's not that these guys are listening. It's bulletin board material. Oh, my goodness. But I just think that right now, the way I look at it offensively, I'm more scared of the Padres than I am of the Cubs. And I don't think that's a stretch to say it. What do you think? 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Up next, our conversation with Paul Hembekides. We're going to give away a book a little bit later on as well. Stay with us on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back on Brewers Weekly. Dom Catronio with you. Now, please be joined by another fellow statistician and a fellow guy who nobody can get their last name right. Paul Hembakidis joining us here on 620 WTMJ. Hembo, appreciate all your work you do with Get Up and everything you do with our friends at ESPN. And now you've completed the trilogy. Got Your Legends is out. We're giving it away here shortly. What was this process like, man? You've got three books now with Mike Greenberg, and the third one is here with Got Your Legends, the Mount Rushmores, if you will, of these sports debates that you guys have come up with.
Yeah, so originally, in a book called Got Your Number, with 100 chapters, we decided to assign every chapter a number. And so, for example, we wrote number 23 about Michael Jordan, and we wrote number 6 about Bill Russell, and so on and so forth. That was kind of the idea in that particular case, deciding who, in most cases, the best athlete to wear X, Y, or Z number. This book, Got Your Legends, which is effectively the Mount Rushmore for every single North American sports team, which is 124 teams across the four majors, was actually our next idea. And the publishing company viewed it as such a big project that they wanted it to bridge the gap with something else. So we kind of came up with the Got Your Answers on the Fly, which is a book of 100 sports lists, for lack of a better term, just kind of whet the appetite of the reader to get us here to the mother load, where, as I mentioned, we identify the Mount Rushmore for every single team across the four major sports. We also ranked every franchise 1 through 124 based on how good your Mount Rushmore is, for lack of a better term, and just general franchise clout, how much winning you've done, how much impact that you've had. And so it's kind of a two-pronged sort of argumentative approach that we've expected to kind of take off on Sports Talk Radio. But I very much appreciate the opportunity to plug it with you. And of course, on this podcast, we're going to dig into all things Brew Crew.
So before we get into the Brewers, when you sat down to look, and maybe there's two types of dilemma where it's like you've got huge, massive franchises like the New York Yankees, where it's like, God, how do you limit this down to four? And no one's going to be happy with who we choose. And then you've got like obvious ones like the Mariners, right? Where it's like, all right, there's pretty much easier picks here with like Felix and Ichiro and Griffey. And then like you can figure out a fourth. What did you find was harder, more entertaining to put the research together?
So, as you well know, as a, you know, sort of hack pseudo statistician, I almost always side with like the science. Whereas Greeny, who quite famously is a lifelong fan who never really played and is one of the world's best sports talkers, of course, sort of majors in the art. And I think the combination thereof kind of is what makes this book as perfect as it could possibly be, because I weighed all the components of, okay, who are the greatest players in the history of X, Y, or Z franchise numerically? And Greeny, on the other hand, as being a 50-something-year-old sports fan, has the 30,000-foot view as to impact and as to legacy, and having had conversations for the last quarter century on the radio about so many of these figures, he and I were able to kind of blend all of those components into a pot. And I think what we spat out was a pretty tasty meal. I think the thing that I'm most proud of here is that we adequately represented every single team, and so that every single fan base, even though you might not agree, your thirst at least should be quenched. Because if you're a fan of the San Jose Sharks, we didn't want to treat you any lesser than the Boston Celtics, because that's your team, that's the team that you love, and so you want to know exactly who our four are and why we came up with those four, just like you would if you were a fan of the Green Bay Packers, as you mentioned. And so I majored in the science, he majored in the art. He and I literally went through an exceedingly comprehensive list of every qualified applicant that I put together and agonized over these in sports talk debate fashion for every single franchise. And so, you know, this is a 200 and something page book, but there were hours and hours of argumentative sessions that he and I had in determining each of these four franchise faces and where each franchise ranks in relation to everyone else on the hierarchy.
So we're going to give away a copy of Got Your Legends here in just a little bit here on 620 WTMJ. Wait for the cue, the call here on the radio station, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Get it dialed up if you want to get a copy. We'll tell you when to call, I promise. So let's shift to the Brewers. Let's go. Give it to me. What was the process like? How did you figure this out? Was there debate contention between you and Greeny on this?
Yeah, absolutely. There were three what we considered actual shoo-ins when it came to the Milwaukee Brewers, which might surprise you to hear me say. It is my belief, and look, you're much closer to this than I am, but it is my belief, and it is Greeny's belief as well, that the Milwaukee Brewers are a thing and are still a thing in large part because of Bud Selig's impact. And that might sound boring, but ultimately, we're not just putting the four best players for every franchise. We are ranking impact, and Bud Selig's gravity within the context of that organization and the fact that baseball in Milwaukee is what it is today is in large part because of Bud Selig. You can't do a credible list of this kind without Bud Selig being on it, in our judgment. And Bob Uecker's voice is as synonymous with the Milwaukee Brewers as any human being's is with any franchise, maybe this side of Dodger baseball and Vin Scully. Bob Uecker, who of course somewhat recently passed, and this team this season is playing with their with his you know heart on their sleeves, literally, has really been a sight to behold. And ever since he passed, hardly a day goes by without you feeling him in that ballpark, especially considering how well this team has played in his wake. And so we felt that those two were almost shoo-ins based on the obvious impact over many, many years. And so before I give you the two players that we landed upon, give me your 30,000-foot view of our inclusion of both Bud Selig and Bob Uecker.
I think Bob Uecker was a lock. Like you, that was no doubt whatsoever. I think a lot of fans will be entertained to hear the case on Bud Selig, and maybe some younger fans only know him as commissioner and they don't know him as the owner of the Brewers that brought them back after the pain of the Milwaukee Braves. And I think young fans don't understand sometimes that there was a time that not every city had baseball, and there was a time that there was a constant threat of your team leaving because you're in Milwaukee. So the fact that he brought it here, kept it stable, and has kept it here for as long as he did absolutely matters. We'll talk about the players on the other side of the break. We'll give away the book in a little bit later as well. Stay with us. More with Hembo after this on 620 WTMJ. All right, let's continue our conversation with Paul Hembakides of ESPN. Let's get to the Mount Rushmore. The players have Bud Selig, Bob Uecker, and who else? And then you're always going to, as we shift to the players, you're going to get that, all right, you know Robbins won. But then, all right, does Molly get in? Do you go modern with Braun? Do you go with the baggage that Braun had? So how did that process go out?
Painstakingly. Robin Yount was a shoo-in, a no-brainer, as synonymous with the Brewers as Ernie Banks is with the Cubs, as George Brett is with the Royals, as Johnny Bench is with the Reds, and so on and so forth. Holds every meaningful record and was a prodigy as a teenager and wound up being a MVP at multiple positions in the infield and outfield, which, as you know, as a statistician, like five people have done, not even. So he is a shoe-in lock. If there were one Mount Rushmore member, it'd probably have to be Robin Yount. The fourth person was very difficult, candidly, and I think you could make a good faith argument for at least three individuals. Those three being, in no particular order before I reveal who we wound up on, Paul Molitor, Ryan Braun, and Christian Yelich. So Paul Molitor's case, and look, if you know and love the history of the Milwaukee Brewers, I don't need to make it, but it's ironclad. And if you ultimately decide to favor someone else, it's not for any shortcomings he had with the organization. And while some people remember him elsewhere, you and I both know that Paul Molitor is a Milwaukee Brewer, first, last, and always. Ryan Braun is a very interesting case because aside from Robin Yount, Ryan Braun's prime, and you remember him at the beginning of his career, just absolutely hitting nukes, was unbelievable, won the MVP over Matt Kemp. But the baggage can't not be remembered. And we felt that it was important to properly contextualize everyone throughout the course of this book. And while you could have included him if he were a greater player, this isn't Barry Bonds that we're talking about. And so while Robin Yount was brilliant, we didn't feel he was so great that he had to be in when considering his transgressions. And that brings me to Christian Yelich, who was as good for a spasm of time as maybe any player in the history of the Brewers. But look, I'm someone that wrote an article back in 2020 saying he was better than Mike Trout. I was roundly mocked for it. As it turns out, he's outworn Mike Trout over the last six seasons, parenthetically. But ultimately, in his case, the combination of injuries and the inability to slug in recent seasons was kind of a detriment to him. And the fact that they've not reached the top of the mountain or even all that close with Christian Yelich wound up being the biggest reason, spoiler alert, why we felt that Paul Molitor was the fourth member of the Milwaukee Brewers Mount Rushmore. What say you?
I think Yelly is a lot closer than people realize. And if this is the year, if this is the year, finally, that they can get back to the World Series for the first time since 82, I think he shoots up on that board because he can say he did something that Braun never did, and that was win a pennant. And even with all that baggage, if Braun had won a pennant with Fielder, with those teams with Sheets, the year in 08 with CC, 11 was so much fun, they didn't win the pennant.
They didn't win the pennant. My question for you, though, is, and again, I'm a Phillies fan that lives on the East Coast, so I'm the kind of person that, on balance, your viewer, your listener is going to love. But I'm a kid whose mom's from the Midwest. I have those kind of roots. I love baseball in the Midwest. Is Christian Yelich the face of this team? Because Christian 100%. Yelich, the same player. The thing is, when Christian Yelich was in his prime, I made the good faith argument that he was as good as anyone, at least in the National League. But right now, he might be the face of the franchise. But if this team winds up going to the World Series this year, say, Do you truly think that he will be considered, you know, remembered, regarded as the biggest reason why, the face of the team that broke the drought, all the kind of things to those of us in the national media that only consume these things from 30,000 feet?
Because the reason why he's going to be that guy is because last year he misses the entire postseason because of back surgery. 2023, he's not quite healthy, but he had a really good wild card series against the Diamondbacks that nobody else did anything in for the Brewers. Then 22, they missed the playoffs. He was not healthy that year. 2021, not healthy at all that season. And there's absolute valid reasoning to say, you know, the slug and the numbers are so down. But you suddenly look at this year. He's got a shot. If he hits one home run this weekend, he's got a 300 season. He hasn't had that since he was 2019. He's been the guy that people are going, oh my goodness, they finally have Yelich available. That Yelich available for a playoff run, which they haven't had that Yelich since 2018.
So what you're telling me is that Christian Yelich might be on the verge of passing Paul Molitor on this list. If he winds up going nuclear in the playoffs, if the Brewers do wind up in the World Series, if he's a big reason why, you're telling me that he's on the precipice. You're telling me that he's 95% of Paul Molitor. Look, I think it's a good faith argument. It's one in which you are so much closer in proximity than I am. But I think it also is to say that he does have work to do. Paul Molitor was as legendary a figure, at least for that time, behind only Robin Yount, whereas Christian Yelich, I think, does still need that moment. He still needs that run. As a Phillies fan, I've seen Bryce Harper do similar things. If Christian Yelich OPS is 1,100 on the way to the World Series, all of a sudden we might have to rewrite our book.
Yeah, and then furthermore, you know, you talk about the, you know, the baggage with Braun, but then the Molitor, the departure, and how it was ugly, and how no one was really happy about it. Then he goes, wins a ring, and it's just like, wow, you're happy for him. But then if you can reward Braun for staying, if you can reward Yelich for staying by finally getting to the mountaintop with those guys, like that was the plan all along. Yount, one uniform guy. Now, Yelly obviously was traded, but he's going to be remembered as a Brewer. There's something to that. You think of Clayton Kershaw right now, right? A one uniform guy. You think of these guys that it's something to, in this day and age where guys are traded, money, all this stuff, to be a one uniform guy, to be remembered as one team is pretty impressive.
It's exceedingly rare. And in the era of free agency, you don't even hold that against players that bopped around. I mean, Juan Soto's going to have played for a bunch of teams in his career, and no one holds that against him. But I think it does inform the fact that someone like Christian Yelich, who was traded to Milwaukee, signs the extension, he could wind up being a legacy Brewer. And in my judgment, that is exceedingly important and exceedingly impressive. So think about this for a second. Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich, their careers kind of run on parallel tracks, both stars with the Marlins to different degrees, wind up being traded. Giancarlo Stanton's not a top dozen Yankee of all time, and he's not close, even though he's going to hit his 500th home run there. Christian Yelich could work his way out of the Mount Rushmore for the Milwaukee Brewers and be regarded as one of the greatest players in the history of the franchise. And there is something extraordinary about being that guy. And it is one of the reasons, one of the beauties of this project and conversations like these, because we hold these athletes near and dear to us. Giancarlo Stanton is going to be a footnote in the history of the New York Yankees. But if Christian Yelich is hoisting a commissioner's trophy, he might have a statue outside the ballpark someday. That's what makes this stuff special.
Yeah, I don't think it's a might. It would be. If the World Series finally comes here to Milwaukee, there is a statue already being planned then for Christian Yelich. Hembo, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but real quick, as we get you out of here on this, we got the playoffs right around the corner. We don't know who's all going to be in it, but man, you know, these top two seeds in the National League, your Phillies, our Brewers, then you've got the NL with the Cubs and the Padres and the Dodgers. The AL is an absolute war zone right now. Do you have a World Series pick here on September 25th? Both pennant winners and a winner.
I think we have collision courses in both leagues, even though that's a non-standard opinion considering how congested everything is. In the American League, I think we're going to see the Yankees and the Mariners meet in the ALCS so long as the bracket matches up that way, given how well they're playing right now and given the ingredients that I think are most important in winning in the postseason. And on the National League side, I feel the exact same way about your team and my team. I think that's the Final Four. In the American League, I view the Yankees as being the team to beat on it based on their ability to slug and generate runs. And even though their pitching staff is somewhat top-heavy, I think it can get them to the World Series. And on the National League side, I think the Brewers are going to breeze through the DS, if I had to be totally honest with you and just guess. If not a sweep, I think it's a four-game series. I think the team's a wagon. And the Phillies are going to have to find a way to stave off attrition in a hypothetical series against the Dodgers, because I think Milwaukee's pitching is going to be in better shape. I'm not going to pick against the Phillies, whom I believe over the last 2 months have been a better baseball team than the Milwaukee Brewers. The series up there, as you remember, was absolute cinema. So we're talking about a 6 or 7 game classic, but you're putting me on the spot. My brethren in Philadelphia are going to hear it. I'll say Phillies over the Yankees in the World Series, but I think Phillies Brewers in the NLCS is going to be one of the great series in recent memory based on how good that series was just lately in the regular season and the fact that these teams are both wagons right now.
Shades of 08. Keep Shane Victorino away from this ball club, man. It's going to be interesting here if that happens in the NLCS. Paul Hembakides, you can see him on Get Up. You can read Got Your Legends. We're going to give away a copy coming up next. Hembo, thanks so much for the time. And I can't wait for this playoffs, man. Thanks for joining us.
Later, Brad.
All right. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. All right. A big thank you to Paul Hembakides for joining us here on WTMJ. Fun conversation with him. So let's give it away. It's a part of a trilogy, and I would recommend you to get the trilogy, but we're giving away Got Your Legends, Mount Rushmore for all of the American professional sports teams of the four major sports. All right, Got Your Legends, and spoiler, we just gave away the Brewers ones, but hey, you can still read the Bucks and the Packers ones in there. Maybe you're fans of other sports as well. So you got to call in, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. We'll do caller number 4 for Paul Molitor for the Igniter, 855-616-1620. Operators are standing by, and it's our producer extraordinaire, Matt Yazel. So again, 855-616-1620. If you want to get that copy of Got Your Legends from ESPN's Paul Hembakides talking about sports debates and the goats of these sports. That's going to do it for Brewers Weekly. Now, what's up ahead here for WTMJ tonight is another re-air of Just a Bit Outside. I thought they did a great job editing this down and having it available to you, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Amazing interviews in this. And if you want a little bit deeper beyond that, you scroll back down on your podcast feed or go to WTMJ.com. Brewers All Access is the name of the podcast. We had 30 good minutes with Sean Hannish, the executive producer and director of Just a Bit Outside, talking about parsing this down into an audio-only format. So I think y'all will really enjoy that. So that's coming up next for the next 3 hours and across a couple of network affiliates here on the Brewers Radio Network as well. So that will be a fun one to re-listen to once again. Before we go, give you one last scoreboard update. Bottom of the first inning in Chicago, Mets up 2-0 in the first. But again, the offense has not been the problem for the Mets lately. It has been their pitching staff. And in today's game, the pitching matchup is their rookie stud, Nolan McClain, up against Shota Imanaga, who gave up 2 runs in the first without a strikeout and a wacky play that you need to see to believe down a left field line earlier in the contest. So we know it's going to be Cubs-Padres that feeds into the Brewers if they're the one seed. And also, it's still 1-0 Philly in the top of the seventh. All the Brewers need to do is win one more game, no matter what Philly does, and Milwaukee gets the one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and also one more win is a new record for most wins in a regular season. A couple last second texts asking, I would love to see the Cubs in the playoffs. Cubs and rubbing in Craig Counsell's face. Can we also take time to appreciate the epic collapse of the Tigers? Yeah, that's for another day. We'll reconvene on Sunday. Our producer is Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you over the weekend. Until then, keep on swinging.